Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm EQMM's editor, Janet Hutchings. This month we bring you a story by Michael Z. Lewin, an author who is sometimes credited with creating the first regional series of Private Eye novels, the Albert Sampson novels set in Indianapolis. The first book in that series was published in 1971, and readers can continue to find more new cases featuring that laid-back detective in the pages of EQMM. A native of Indianapolis, Michael Z. Lewin has lived in England for more than 50 years. For this podcast, he's chosen to read one of his non-series stories, a fanciful story whose characters include the ancient Greek gods. Here he is reading Her Upstairs from the July-August 2023 issue of EQMM.
"So we're agreed," Barry said. Evie glanced at the ceiling where a droplet of water was forming in a new crack. They assumed it was water, but since it originated in the flat of her upstairs, neither she nor Barry was inclined to taste it for confirmation. Let it accumulate in the bowl they'd set out. Pour the contents on a weed. See if the weed died. Anyway, the problem wasn't identifying the substance. The problem was that it was coming through the ceiling, again, and in yet another new place. It seemed never-ending, and a perpetual worry to both the Housens. A day, a week, even a month without a new leak. But then, did the wretched woman perforate her plumbing pipes on purpose to drive them mad? Because it had happened too many times to count since the woman moved in 4 years ago. Or was it 100? If they could contrive to afford a way to move, they would, but neither their wallets nor their deepest feelings made that possible. This flat was their home. It always had been. It was where they arrived after their honeymoon. It's where they would have raised their children. It's where they still held hands when they sat side by side on the couch. But now, after all these years, it seemed that the very devil lived above them. Yet another leak, despite their complaints, requests, reports. Leaks stopped. Leaks happened again. Was it time to try something different, something more extreme? Or should they simply continue to cope? They agreed that they would put the question into different hands and abide by the answer. They moved to the table in the conservatory, their only space that was not beneath a part of her upstairs's flat, so no leaks there. Although, while their hearing was not what it used to be, they could still hear the whines of the lonely dog, the doorbell for packages or food meant to be delivered to her, the thudding music, the screechy laughs, the raucous parties. Once, cement had been dumped from her porch onto their patio without explanation. But the conservatory ceiling and the table below it were dry. Barry set out the cribbage board. Evie shuffled the cards. "This could change our lives," Barry said. Evie shrugged. "We can't go on like this." She shuffled again. "Or can we? It's time to let the gods guide us." "If we win, we act," Barry said. "And if the gods win, we endure," Evie said. "Agreed?" "Agreed." It was gods, not God, because the Greeks had it right. Hestia entered Zeus's chamber, where the lord of the gods was picking at his teeth with a thunderbolt, but musing about a mortal woman. He'd caught sight of her dancing at a festival in a place humans call Columbia. Was there a disguise that would let him get close to her, perhaps as one of the new herd of hippopotamuses now bizarrely roaming that country? He'd never transformed himself into a hippopotamus. He could be the friendly one. But was there an excuse that would let him get away from Hera, his wife and sister, who was not only jealous but vengeful? The hippopotamuses, now 80 in number, were becoming a threat to something or other. He could call it a philanthropic gesture. Zeus could just see the disdainful snarl on Hera's face. He'd need something better. But the mortal woman was so beautiful and lithe and interesting looking. Brother? His image of the human woman was interrupted. Hestia, he said, for the goddess of the hearth to arrive in the throne room unexpectedly was unusual. The gentlest of the gods, she was so peace-loving that she'd given up her place as one of the 12 Olympians just to avoid conflict about a prospective new addition. Zeus put down the thunderbolt. He could get the last fragment of thigh meat from the sacrifice of a ram later. Something's going on, Hestia said, down there. A frown. Zeus did not like surprises unless he had originated them. Think of the look on the Colombian woman's face when the hippopotamus transformed into a handsome god. There is a human couple playing the game, Hestia said. Zeus shrugged. People played the game every day. They played with each other and thus against the will of the gods. Heretics called it playing against luck. Although it didn't happen often, sometimes the gods, who felt like amusing themselves, would oversee a game either by themselves or in groups. Zeus had sometimes engaged with human couples himself. Occasionally the players were pleasing to look upon. Yet there were so many other things to occupy the gods' attentions. Hestia said, this particular couple is making their game about something more than just your pleasure. She gestured to the Olympic chamber, our pleasures. Zeus didn't quite get it. The game was there for the gods to amuse themselves with and to help the human players admire beauty, be surprised, and pay for hubris. Something more? What? He asked. I don't know, Hestia said, for no gods could read minds. But they are declaring it to be the way they will make an important decision, and I thought you should know. To be used for a serious decision? Zeus rose from his throne. No, no. After two more shuffles, Evie presented the pack for Barry to cut. His card was an ace. The lowest card in cribbage. Evie was almost certain to cut a higher one, unless, of course, a god chose otherwise. Evie cut a king, the highest card. That's telling us something, she said. Or is it? Having cut the higher card, Evie would play the low side of the board. Her goal would be to avoid scoring 31 points before Barry, playing high, scored 61. They would work together, without speaking, for both objectives, to minimize Evie's scoring and maximize Barry's. They used a conventional cribbage board, setting the scoring pegs at opposite ends so that they shared the finish line. If Barry got his 61 first, they, the two of them as a team, would have won. And they would act. Should Evie score 31 first, however, they would lose, and they would continue to endure. They had not decided how they would act, if that was the gods' will, but it would be whatever it took to eliminate the problem of her upstairs. As low, Evie would deal first. She shuffled a further 7 times. The number of shuffles mathematically required to randomize the pack of cards. Not that the gods required it. Gods were famous for their transformations and could call up any card they wanted. She presented the pack to Barry for him to cut. There was a huge roar of thunder. They both looked to the sky through the conservatory glass. Neither saw a cloud. "Is rain forecast?" Barry asked. "Not that I know of," Evie said. He shrugged and cut the pack. Evie dealt 6 cards each. "What in Hades is this game meant to be about?" Zeus thundered. Mildly, Hestia said again, "I don't know. All I made out is that if they win, they'll do something, and if they lose, they won't." "But do what?" A roar. "Stand on their heads in a corner, go postal, rip down my temples? Or devote the rest of their lives to collecting enough silver and gold to build you the biggest temple on earth?" Hestia said, gentle and peacemaking as ever. "Doing something doesn't have to be bad. Perhaps it's just a matter of deciding how to spend the rest of their time. They are old, after all, by human standards." "How old?" "The male is 72, the female 71. "Not that old." "Young old?" Hestia suggested. "Old enough and young enough to cause trouble," Zeus said. "See how they like this." He waved a finger. Evie picked up her hand. All 6 cards were the same suit. Not quite unheard of. Perhaps one hand in hundreds of deals, according to those who argued that the game was a matter of luck and statistics. But Evie had always felt the involvement of greater powers when she and Barry played the game. So did this hand, on this occasion, mean they wanted her and Barry to lose, to do nothing, to continue to endure? Well, if that's how it turned out, that's how it would be. Together, they would do their best to win. That was what the game was about. But their fate was in the hands of the gods. As she saw her cards, she tried not to sigh out loud. It wasn't done for players to give clues about their hands. But it did mean that whatever she discarded to her crib, she'd be left with 4 hearts and the 4 points for a flush. She held the ace, 2, 6, 7, 8, and king. Well, the 7 would have to go to break up the run and combination of 15 that 8 and 7 made. And the ace must go because the remaining 6 and 8 would become 15 with it. She put the 2 cards face down on her side of the board. Barry, meanwhile, was arranging his cards. 2 fives, a 6, an 8, and 2 kings. Playing high required not only keeping the highest point total he could, but thinking about the potential effect of his 2 discards on Evie's crib. In an ordinary game, he'd just keep the 5s and kings and their 12 points, 2 each for the pairs, and 2 each for the 4 combinations of 15, all face cards counting as 10. But to throw a 6 and an 8 to a low crib was risky. If Evie or the turn-up card added a 7, then the crib would have a run of 3 consecutive cards and the 7 and 8 would make a 15. 5 points in total. A lot for a single low crib, when the whole point of playing on the low side was to avoid scoring 31. Better early in the game to sacrifice half his points and throw 1 king and the 8. Those cards couldn't combine with each other to give runs or 15s. And holding on to the 6 with his 2 fives had potential. A 7 or a 4 could give his high hand a double run. With 4 cards now face down in Evie's crib, Barry cut the remaining pack. The card on top would be turned over to become the 5th scoring card in both players' hands and in the crib. "I don't understand," Zeus said crossly. "They're playing correctly and trying to win." "I think they have a dilemma," Hestia said. and they're wanting our help by using the game to make a decision. That's not what it's for, Zeus roared. By now, more of the gods on Olympus were arriving in the chamber. If something was going on, they wanted in on the action. That's how it had always been, from the time in the distant past when Prometheus, together with Zeus, had created human life. Since then, there had been millennia of love, war, and treachery, plus having had a lot of fun at human expense. But as well as curiosity when something unusual was happening, they each occasionally enjoyed playing the game with mortals, be it to squash them or encourage them. As immortals, gods often had time on their hands. The turned-up card was a 10. Adding two new 15s because of his two 5s, it restored 4 of the 6 points Barry had given up. Now, as non-dealer, it was up to him to put down a card from his hand and start the play phase. He put down a 5. The hearts remaining in Evie's hand were the 2, 6, 8, and king. She put down her 6, hoping that Barry might have a 4 or a 7, and be able to make the 3 cards into a run. Barry didn't have either of those, but put down his own 6, making the last 2 cards into a pair and scoring 2 points. I was on its way. Aphrodite, known for her reason and passion, was first to speak. "Aw, isn't that lovely? They have a problem, and they want our help." "It's not what the game is for," Zeus roared again, although the bit of meat remaining between his teeth was irritating him nearly as much as these humans' insolence. "Blow them away, Ares, god of war, urged. Rules are rules." "Big talk coming from the likes of you," Hera said from her throne beside Zeus's. She felt ready anger at all philanderers, not just her husband. She only trusted the dedicated virgins, although, in fact, she renewed her own virginity every year by bathing in the Canathos, so who could ever be sure? Hera didn't laugh much. "Chill, Mom," Ares said, although chill was the last thing he actually wanted. "These are not new players to the game. They know they shouldn't be using it for their own purposes." "So do you propose I kill them?" Zeus asked archly. He was often at odds with Ares. Most of the gods usually were. "But do they know what they're doing is wrong?" Hestia asked. "Maybe they're desperate, can't decide something, and need our help." "What's wrong with prayer and sacrifice, then?" Zeus said. Why did the bit of flesh in his mouth not shift itself? "Turn them into frogs," Hera suggested. "There seems to be plenty of water where they live." With a 5 and 2 6s having been played, the running total was 17. Now, holding a 2, 8, and king, it was Evie's play. There was no strong reason to play any one of the cards, but perhaps Barry had another 6, so she played the 8, making the total 25. A 6 from Barry would make 31, and he would get 2 points, a quirk of cribbage, being that in the play phase, cards must add to 31 or fewer, and there was a bonus point for making 31 exactly. But Barry did not have a 6. He played his other 5, making 30. Unable to play a card and keep the total below 32, Evie said, "Go." Barry scored a point for that, bringing high to 3. It's now up to Evie to begin the next bit of play. She held a 2 and a king. Barry had shown that he'd held 2 5s and a 6, so he might have held a 10-point card with the 5s, or even a third 5. She played her king. With a smile, Barry paired it, with his king scoring two. Evie then played her two and took a point for last, because now all the cards in both hands had been exposed. High had 5 points from the play, and low had one. "Ganymede," Zeus called. The handsome young Trojan, now immortal, presented himself, and Zeus opened his mouth. Ganymede saw the meat fragment that was causing the Lord of the Gods discomfort, and he quickly resolved it with a sharpened sliver of bone that he kept for such things. Zeus shrugged and gave a small nod, about as close as he ever got to thanking someone. "Now," he said, "these humans, what kind of decision might they be trying to make?" Aphrodite asked everyone. "It's got to be more than what's for dinner tonight." A glance at Hestia. "Perhaps," Hera said sourly, "the woman is deciding whether she should forgive this husband of hers for betraying her." After a moment, "So let me take over the game." "They seem to be playing amicably," Aphrodite said. "Could be something financial," said Hephaestus, the smith, who had limped in to see what was going on and also to see what his wife, Aphrodite, was up to. "Humans carry on a lot about their money. Do they have wealth?" "Who knows and who cares?" Zeus said crossly. And he wondered if he could get his brother, Poseidon, to send a huge storm and wash these impudent humans away, even though they were miles from any body of water. As non-dealer, Barry was the first to peg points from his hand. 2 for the pair of fives and 2 each for the 4 combinations of 15, making 10 points in all. That made High's total at the end of the hand 15. 5 in play, and these 10 from the cards he'd held. Looking across the table, Barry saw that Evie's cards made a flush. Did she realize she'd held a flush? Once years ago, this had happened, and he'd asked, only to receive a fierce dismissive expression. Of course she knew. She was a good and thoughtful player. Evie's cards and the 10 that had turned up were all even numbers, so there were no combinations making 15. As well, there were no runs or pairs. So she just pegged the 4 for the flush, taking her total to 5 with the points she'd scored in play. Then she turned over the crib. Barry had contributed a king and an 8, Evie an ace and a 7. Even with the 10 that had turned up, the only scoring combination of cards was the 8 and 7, which made a 15. 2 points, bringing Evie's total to 7. Not a great start for low, but not a terrible one either. High on 15 was a better than average start. Was there any hint yet what the gods might be thinking about their dilemma? Foolish, because if they knew anything about this version of cribbage, it was that they could lose from almost any position, or win. Barry combined all the cards and began to shuffle them. "Should we talk about what we do if we win? Method? How to dispose of the body? Isn't that tempting fate?" Evie asked. Barry shrugged. "Are they interested in anything more than whether they win the game?" "We're hoping so today," Evie sighed. "If we wanted to bother, we could win every damn game," Zeus said. "But, brother," Hestia said, "isn't it the truth that we almost never interfere in their games?" Zeus shrugged. "Who has the time for things like that?" An image of the Colombian woman popped again into his mind. Hera scowled. Did she growl? Mind reading might not be a godly skill, but reading body language was. They think we're involved, Hestia continued, because mortals want explanations for why bad things happen and for what they can't predict. Yes, we exist, but they're wrong to think we actually care what they do or what happens to them, other than in exceptional circumstances. But it's murder, Ares said excitedly. They want to commit a murder. That's exceptional, isn't it? For humans like them, old, becoming frail. Suddenly he's in love with them, Aphrodite said. But Ares, do you want to help them or stop them, you hypocritical warmonger? But what murder? Zeus asked. Better not be the murder of a house guest. The rules of conduct surrounding hospitality were something all the deities took very seriously. It's only the two of them there, Hestia said. I need some air, Zeus thundered. He rose from his throne. Hera rose too. I'll come with you, husband. No, stay here. To Ares, look after your mother. The look on his face silenced them all. I'm going out, Zeus said. I may be some time. He pointed to Hestia. You brought me this damn problem. I'm giving it back to you. It's all yours. As the game progressed through the next two hands, Evie's low was in a worse and worse position. By the time Barry dealt the fourth hand, low had pegged 26. Not hopeless, but no way comfortable when to win she couldn't score more than 30. As well, Barry's high was far from his 61 target, standing on 22. His hands had been miserable. It was his turn to have the crib and its points, but he'd only score them if Evie's hand didn't lose the game first, and their odds of winning the game had to be tiny. Evie picked up her cards, 2, 6, 7, 8, 10, and Jack. Similar, though not identical, to her first hand. Well, these things happen, and at least they weren't all the same suit. Could she throw Barry her 7 and 8, giving his crib 2 points for the 15 and a potential for a run because they were sequential? More conservative would be throwing the 7 and either the Jack or the 10. Sheep or a lamb, she threw the 7 and 8. If the gods wanted them to lose, they would lose. Barry, she saw, had no hesitation about what he threw. Maybe, just maybe, he had a good hand at last. If only she could keep from going over the losing line. She cut the pack, and Barry turned up a 5 of diamonds. Evie's heart sank. It meant she'd have 15s with each of the 10 and the Jack in her hand for 4 points. If she scored a point in play, they would lose because she, as non-dealer, would score her hand before Barry scored his, no matter how many points he held. She led her Jack. Barry played a 5 and scored 2 for making 15. Evie followed with her 6, making 21. She hoped Barry would make 31 with a 10-point card. Instead, he played a 4, making a run of 3 cards, 4, 5, and 6, and taking the total to 25. Evie played her 2, making the total 27, and praying that Barry could play another card and not leave her with the fatal point for last. He did. He played another 4, making 31 and scoring 2. So far, so good. The only card Evie had left was her 10, which she played. Could Barry possibly have another 5? No, he had a 6 and played it. But the point for last was highs and not lows. In total, Barry had scored 8 points in play, which was a lot, but more important, Evie had not scored at all. 4, she declared as her hands count, and she moved her peg to 30 points, still 1 point short of a loss. they turned to look at Barry's hand. With the five that turned up, his scoring cards were 2 fours, 2 fives, and a six. One of the best possible hands. There were 4 variations on runs of 3, 12 points, and there were 4 ways to make 15s with 4s, 5s, and 6s, 8 points, and there were 2 pairs, 4 points. The hand scored 24 points in all. High's crib held the 8 and 7 from Evie, a 10 and king, which Barry had thrown, and the 5 as a turn-up card. 3 combinations of 15 made 6 points. With 8 in play, Barry's side of the board scored 38 points in all, bringing High's total to 60, 1 point short of victory. Suddenly, all but miraculously, Evie and Barry had gone from an almost certain losing position to one in which neither side was favorite. Everything was still in play. They looked at each other when Barry had finished moving his scoring pegs. "Wow," he said. "What are they telling us?" Evie asked. But Barry shook his head. He had no answer. And then their doorbell rang. Neither moved. They were expecting nothing and no one. The doorbell rang again. "I suppose," Barry said, rising. Together they went to the door. Outside was a lanky young man who held a flat, rectangular cardboard box. "Your pizza," he said, handing it to Barry. "All charges prepaid." He left before Barry or Evie could say anything. Returning to their conservatory, they put the box beside the cribbage board. Their pegs were next to each other, lows on 30, highs on 60, each point shy of a decision. "I know what they're telling us," Evie said suddenly. "Decide for ourselves." Barry nodded. "Endure or act?" "And if act, act how?" Evie said. In a place far away, Hestia smiled. Ares, the only god to have stayed around after Hera slipped out to spy on Zeus, asked, "So what are you going to do, Hess?" "Why, nothing, of course. They've read the signs as I intended them to. It's up to them now." Ares shook his head, but he could not affect the outcome of the game if Hestia was in charge. Gods were not allowed to alter other gods' decisions and judgments. In the bathroom, Evie and Barry collected their prescribed medications, sleeping pills and tranquilizers that neither had needed before the arrival of her upstairs. While Barry kept the pizza warm in their oven, Evie ground the mountain of pills with her mortar and pestle. Then she sprinkled the mostly white powder over the pizza, which already appeared to be with everything. "Pizza from the gods," Barry said, "but not pizza of the gods." Neither of them liked pineapple or anchovies or jalapenos on a pizza, but this pie had the lot. When the powdered pill concoction seemed to have mixed into the cheese, sauce, and other toppings, Barry put the pizza back in its box. Together, he and Evie went upstairs and knocked on their neighbor's door. The first response they heard was a thump, but they knew that to be her upstairs' dog throwing itself against the door. "Maybe she's not in," Evie said. "Care for some pizza, dear," Barry said. "Someone should eat it while it's hot." But then the door opened. Ares stood behind Hestia. "What happens now?" he asked. "I have no idea," Hestia said. "It's not like we control what they do. They make the decisions of how they interpret the signs we give them." "You could make things happen if you wanted to, plague them with a gadfly, or..." Estia did not respond. What a wuss, Ares said, turning away in disgust. A short, thin, middle-aged woman stood before them, holding a dog that had curly black hair. Oh, the woman said, it's you. Barry and Evie together offered her the pizza. This was delivered to us, but we think it's yours. Last, I wondered where it had got to. The woman looked at Evie and Barry as if they had somehow caused the delivery to go astray. It's happened before, Evie said. Quite often, Barry said. The woman gave a little shake of her head as if the delivery address was nothing to do with her. Yes, yes, of course. My pizza at last. She pulled the dog's face closer to her own. I ordered it, Poochums. Yes, I did. But don't think you're getting any. No, you're not. She took the box and stepped back. Then she said, by the way, I've had a bit of luck. I'll be out of this god-awful building by the end of next week. She closed the door. Well, Ares said. Well, what? Estia asked, facing him. Your humans are killing the scruffy woman with the dog. Don't you approve of that? Estia asked sadly. It's a neighbor, Ares said. Okay, a neighbor's not a house guest, but come on. Is murdering everyone who lives next door suddenly okay? Shouldn't it have consequences? Shouldn't you at least drive them mad? In the hallway, Evie and Barry stood motionless. Then they turned to face each other. So what do we do now? Evie asked. She's moving. Ask for it back? Sorry, but we've remembered it was our pizza after all. But Barry shook his head. Maybe she'll taste something not right, Evie said. And complain and order a replacement? Or chuck it? Or eat it? And at least we've done something. From inside the door that had just closed, they heard the dog begin to whine. Oh, Poochum, stop that, her upstairs said, her voice carrying through the wood. The dog whined again. Well, maybe just a little. Simultaneously, Barry and Evie reached for the other's hand. They paused to listen. The dog stopped whining. They turned and headed downstairs. We let the gods decide, Evie said. No, Hestia said with some passion. That's not how it works. But behind her back, Ares smiled. He couldn't affect what the cribbage players did, but he could make the pizza smell irresistible to her upstairs and her dog. He pumped his fist.
Her Upstairs is copyrighted by Michael Z. Lewin. Music for this podcast was obtained from purpleplanet.com. Mixing and editing for the podcast were done by Kevin Wheeler and Jackie Sherbo. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at www.elleryqueenmysterymagazine.com.